Okay, Lunchbox, let's try this again. We tidy the roof and you jump off and sail like a Spitfire, passing right over the arch nemesis, the Fours. You then swing up to the stage and knock out the pin. And when that's gone, the stage is trashed and we go smoke a bowl. You got it? Now get your fat ass up there. And dude, don't forget your helmet, Snoogin.
The Dome Patrol United Network presents the Dome Patrol Podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation? Thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast. I'm your host, Jason, tonight. Jeff is busy doing some home remodeling, even though his house isn't that old, as far as I can tell. He decided to take a week off, I guess, with no game to recap. He just wasn't up to it, or I don't know. So the Saints are coming out of the bye, sitting there at 3-2. You know, not a ton of it's crazy to think. I mean, I don't think there was a ton of Saints news. You know, all the Michael Thomas stuff happened last week, so there's no game to talk about. But we will do a little NFL reach around, talk about the games this past weekend. We'll get into pick-ems. And then we'll preview the Panthers game this coming week. So sit back, put your tray tables up, relax, put your arms inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Scott, welcome to the show. Do you have a number tonight?
Currently, I do not have a number, but I feel like I'm hungover for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know. We're recording kind of late at, like, what, 9:30? I don't know what remodeling Jeff's doing at 9:30, but, you know, well, whatever.
That's what he's calling it, remodeling.
I know they're putting in countertops, but I don't know.
Banging it out. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just thinking, like, you know, back in the early days of the Dome Patrol, 9:30 is when we'd just get going, and we'd be all at threes and fours and slowly trend downhill. I'm also at a zero. I had a softball game tonight. Due to COVID, they're not providing any community beer for everybody. But I'm hoping that changes soon. Like I said, I was at a tennis tournament yesterday. It was a nice chest full of beer, pretty grabbing. So I'm hoping that changes. But we also have our host of the Taking the Over podcast, Mr. Billy Gunn. Gunn, good to see you tonight. Do you have a number?
I do not have a number. No, I'm I'm alcohol-free, man. And other than that, I'm pretty much engaging in some sober October outside of alcohol, so I'm fully with it tonight. My number's a zero with no decimals.
Oh man! See, now you see, if you'd have told me it was the 0.4, I would have taken the over.
Well, yeah. Well, taking the over was a mistake this week, so I'll do that.
All right, so with no Saints to talk about, we will get into the NFL reach around. So I, you know, because I played in that tournament yesterday, I wasn't able to watch a lot of the early games, which sucks for me because there were, you know, other than two games, every game was an early game. I did manage to catch maybe like the first half hour of some of the games. So I saw Cincinnati get out to this 21-0 lead on Indy. And I'm like, ooh, okay. Come to find out, they blew it and they lost to the Colts 31-27.
Yeah, once they got out to that lead, I don't know, they just decided to disappear. You know, they went full Falcons on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I know they lost Mixon during the game, but still.
Yeah, I think he came back at some point, but you know, he didn't really have too much of a effect. Burrow, I don't know. No touchdowns, one interception, 313 yards. So not great, I guess, but not horrible. I mean, Rivers had just a hell of a game, three touchdowns, 371.
That's kind of shocking from Rivers because Rivers kind of played like shit so far this year.
Yeah, he's just up and down. Kind of like he's been most of his career, honestly. You know, he'll have some games where he's really good, and then he's the older version of Baker Mayfield.
Oh, that's blasphemy. Don't say such horrible things about Rivers. Baker Mayfield is a hot garbage. And he showed it. I was watching all the games, all the early games, and was shocked to see Riverboat Ron go for two when the Washington football team had a chance to get their second win of the season and tie it up with the Giants at 20. He went for two and looked like an ass. Romeo Crennel went for two, and it kind of backfired on him too. As he, I suppose he's the interim head coach for Houston. And the Titans, God, Titans, Derrick Henry is in December, January form already. I mean, he's strong, man. He's absolutely fun to watch.
Insane. A guy that big, and he had a 90 something yard run. He finished with 200 yards rushing again.
Yep. He's just been a beast this year.
I mean, he's actually living up to, you know, along with Kamara, they're living up to the contracts they signed. Doesn't happen a lot with running backs, you know?
No. Ravens, Eagles, you know, the Eagles came back and made it honest there at the end. They were a 2-point conversion away from tying it, and they failed on their 2-point conversion attempt. Like we talked about, Baker Mayfield was garbage. Steelers kind of won that handily 38-7. They pulled Mayfield in the third and blamed it on ribs.
As in he ate too many of them.
Right. You know, Teddy Two Gloves had a chance to come and tie the game with a last minute drive and threw a first down interception against the Bears. I didn't watch any of the Lions in Jacksonville. The Dolphins,
most people didn't.
The Dolphins are turning into just gladiator ass beaters all of a sudden.
Tua got in the game at the end of the
third quarter. They were so handily winning at that point. They got Tua in. And then two big letdowns in the early games. Late games. The feature afternoon game, Buccaneers and Packers. The Packers controlled the first quarter. The Bucs had three offensive plays in the first quarter and then went on to win. It was 10-0, and they came back to win 38-10. And then that heartbreaking game that just put a dagger in all of my wagers for the weekend was the 49ers and the Rams. And I'll tell you what, man, both of those coaches, McVay and Shanahan, are just – they're really impressive young coaches. And Shanahan had one of the most impressive game plans I've ever seen a coach implement, because coming into that game, you were thinking that Aaron Donald was just going to destroy whoever suited up at quarterback for the 49ers. And all week, people were thinking that Mullen was going to start, and then Garoppolo ended up getting the start. So you've got a gimpy Garoppolo with a high ankle sprain playing against this terrifying Rams defensive line. And Shanahan devised a game plan where he never took more than like 2.5 seconds to throw the ball the entire game. He was getting the ball out like 2 seconds, 2.2 seconds, and just hitting these little short passes that complement their strong running game. And they beat the Rams.
It was a big game from them because, you know, their schedule coming up, if they'd have lost that game, they'd have effectively been out of it. They'd have been 2-4, and they've got a brutal schedule coming up. They got Seattle, they got the Saints, you know, some other strong team playing a first place schedule. So they kind of, you know, they needed this game more than the Rams did.
Kind of going back, Tampa, I mean, their defensive line and linebackers were pretty impressive against the Packers. Every time I looked up, Darth Helmet, Aaron Rodgers was on his ass and just like getting, pummeled left and right.
They pressured him all day. They were all up in Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, Aaron said in the post game, and I think it's the right thing to say. And it's almost like I'm like you guys, like I haven't been the biggest fan of Aaron Rodgers in the past, but, you know, they kind of disrespected him in the offseason with some of their personnel moves. And so I'm kind of rooting for him this year, because I think he's been real classy about it, you know. And look, they got beat. They were 4-0, and then they got beat by Tampa Bay, and he said, "But this is what we needed. You know, we needed an ass whooping like this." And so I think Green Bay is going to be legit. They're going to be there at the end of the season, you know. I think along with Tampa, and along with the Saints and along with Seattle, and who knows who else will emerge in the NFC.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Like, the Bears are sitting there at 5-1. I just can't. It's like, really? Right. The Bears? Like, right. They just
and
do
that,
not.
And that, yeah.
Right? They don't impress you at all. Their defense is good, but they just do not impress you. I can't believe they're 5-1.
Yeah. Did y'all see in the Titans game? It was on Twitter. The move the coach made towards the end of the game. He purposely put 12 men on the field.
To stop the clock
and get a penalty. Well, to run time off of it and to stop it and get a penalty.
Was that Vrabel?
Yeah,
it was Vrabel. Yeah, yeah. That's the Belichick move.
Yep.
And he did some of that Belichick shit to Belichick in the playoffs this past year. Yep. And I think it really pissed Belichick off. That was fun. That was fun to watch. Well,
anything to piss Belichick off has got to be a good thing.
Right.
Speaking of Belichick, the Patriots lose, so now they're under 500. You know, at this point in the season, for the first time in, I think it was like 2002, maybe.
Yeah, until the Broncos too. I mean, yep. Shit. With getting Cam back, like, I don't. How do you? You got Drew Locke playing. Melvin Gordon was out, so you had Phillip Lindsay starting a running back. He had over 100 yards, but I mean, Cam looked like garbage as usual. Two interceptions, 157 yards. He did rush for a touchdown, but
I tell you what, it was Denver's secret weapon, Brandon McManus. Six field goals.
Yeah.
Six field goals. Scored all 18 points.
Hey, sometimes it's what you got to do.
All right.
Points are points, wins are wins.
Helped decide a few fantasy matchups this week.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right. So that's your kind of look around the league. I guess we'd be remiss to say the Falcons got their first win of the season beating the Vikings.
You know, it's funny that, and I think I don't know if I said this on the chat or if I said this last week, that whenever a team fires their coach, it seems like the next game they always play better and win.
You saw it with Houston last week. Houston won their first game without O'Brien.
Yeah, that first week back, they always play better and win.
I mean, it did help going against the bad Vikings team, too. I mean,
yeah, they look good, Lord.
On the bright side, Justin Jefferson continues to put up some stats, 160 yards and 2 touchdowns.
He's killing it, man. Yep. I really wish we would have gotten him.
Yeah. Would have been nice, but
especially Saints with Thomas Saints being out.
The Saints don't draft NFL players.
LSU players.
That is true.
They definitely don't.
To Ohio State, he'd be on the team.
Yeah, if he'd have gone to Ohio State, he'd be on our roster.
Yep, yeah, for sure.
All right, so speaking of the Saints, I guess they're...
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
You know, in terms of Saints news, obviously we're all expecting Michael Thomas to come back this week. I'm sure that there'll be a lot of questions asked, but apparently Sean Payton went on some kind of Twitter blocking spree.
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing, but everybody, like all these Saints people on Twitter, were capping their things that they got blocked by Sean Payton, and he was just going nuts on people. I don't know what that's all about. It'd be funny if, like, one of his kids or something just got a hold of his phone and just decided.
Just started mass blocking.
Started blocking people. Yeah. Kind of another Saints news. The game will be in the Dome this week with no fans. I did see that they think the earliest, I think, that they'd have a game in Baton Rouge is November, from what I saw.
Yeah, I think something that, you know, the logistics of doing it and having to deal with, I mean, can you play a game on Saturday, LSU, and a game on Sunday as well?
Yeah. And, you know, they were talking about that on the radio the other day on Moscona's show. They were interviewing somebody from LSU. I can't remember who, but Tetica, LSU's only played one game on the turf so far. And the guy said basically that he thought it would hold up if they played games back to back. So, and that obviously depends on the weather and stuff too. I mean, if it's raining and shit, supposedly the drainage is really good. They're having to slow down the drainage on it because it's draining too well when they water it. Hmm. So
interesting. Yeah. I mean, obviously, if they allow fans, I'm going to go, whether it's here or Baton Rouge.
I ain't going to be here anytime soon.
Yeah. Don't like it. They did say they met with the state officials and the mayor today, and they said it went well, but mayor's not planning to get off her high horse, I don't think.
Well, you like LaToya, right, Jason?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She is. I like her so much. I got bleeped last week.
She'll see you next Tuesday.
Yeah, but there was some other Saints news. Gail Benson got attempted carjacking.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Didn't work. Nope. The guy saw who he was. I'm like, oh shit! I'm sure when he was on his way out, he's like, all right, who dat?
Yep.
Just man, the Saints can just not have a regular week with nothing happening. It's crazy. It's wild.
It's impossible. You almost think they like, I don't know. Like the Saints leak shit just to stay in the news sometimes.
I mean, I mean, it was nice not having either an LSU or a Saints game this weekend. Just no stress whatsoever.
Yeah, it was quite relaxing. But I did miss it, you know, kind of watching some of the games, you know, NFL games. Man, I know we complain a lot about the Saints, but I'm glad we have them as opposed to some of these teams because – some of them are just straight up garbage.
Thankfully, we're not Jets fans or Washington fans or Giants fans. I mean, we've already been through that. We've been through the dark times.
And well, the same for LSU. Like, I was watching some of the SEC games, and God, some of the quarterbacks were god awful. I know our defense is bad, but it was a rough week for SEC quarterbacks.
Well, you watch all the games, and I'm watching games often with something on the line, so I'm watching it. You know, with something at stake and some of those biases jump in. And, you know, everybody's corners give up big plays. Everybody commits stupid penalties. Everybody gets bad calls from the refs. You know, and I think sometimes on a bye week when you can watch all those other games and really pay attention, you know, you see a lot of that. And so it's not just us, you know.
Yeah, the referees are shit everywhere.
As is, of course, the tradition.
I don't know what you do to fix it. I don't think they want to fix it. To be honest, if they wanted to fix it, it'd be fixed.
Yeah, so. I mean, that's kind of the way it seems. I mean, the NFL's got enough money to fix a problem if they really, really want to.
Yep. So they're just going to keep giving us shit every week for refs.
Yep.
So.
And we're going to keep taking it because we love football. Nothing we can do about it.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that's it for the Saints news. Now we will move into Pick'ems.
Time to play the game. It's all about the game and how you play it. All about control. And if you can take it, all about your debt. And if you can pay it, it's all about pain. And who's gonna make it?
And this was probably overall the roughest week we've had so far in Pick'ems. We only had, at least out of the immediate group, we only had one person above 500. Ash went 4-1. Jeff, myself, Ben, and James, and Dave all went 2-3. Scott, you went 1-4. You were the loser for the week.
Woohoo!
So now we've got a two-way tie for first in our group between Jeff and Ash. At 19-10, and then we've got I'm at 18-11, Scott's at 18-11, Ben's at 18-11, and then we've got Ben at 16-13, and I guess Dave 10-4. He missed a week, so his percentage is better than some others, but he didn't have games. But that's where we stand in the immediate crew. I know Jeff is busy tabulating.
Where's Gunn at in all this?
Well, I'll tell you, yeah. So I refuse to participate in the main show Pick'ems. If you want to get, I could tell you, I had a horrible week as well. I was not immune to all of the badness that happened. I came crashing back. We're going to call it the Great Crash of October 2020. But I came crashing back to Earth. But I, on principle, refused to participate in the main show Pick'ems. So my record's like 0-14 or whatever. And if you want to hear my Pick'ems, you should tune in to Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. It's going to drop either late Wednesday or early Thursday this week.
Looking forward to it.
Definitely.
All right, so we've got some interesting games here. I feel like this is a slightly better slate. You know, I mean, there were some weird games last week. Some bad teams won games last week. It was just odd. So I kind of like the slate this week. First game, we got the Seattle Seahawks coming off a bye. They remain the only undefeated team in the NFC right now, sitting there at 5-0. They travel to Arizona to play a Cardinals team that is putting an ass whipping on Dallas right now. It is currently 28-3 early in the fourth quarter. This game's in Arizona. Arizona looking well tonight, running and passing. They are catching 3.5 at home.
That's a tough one, and I'll tell you why. I think almost every, if not every, Seattle win this year has come down to the final possession. Arizona is an interdivision rival, and they always have nail-biting finishes. Due to sticking to my strong values and ethics, I'm going to refuse to pick this game, and so I'll pass it on to Scott.
Man, that's tough. I think it's going to be, I do think, kind of like Gunn said, I think it's going to be a close game. It might come down to the final possession, but I'm saying Seattle wins by 4 and covers. Taking Seattle.
Yeah. So Seattle's largest margin of victory this year is 8, and that was against the Dolphins. You got a 7-point win, 5-point win. Oh, I take that back. They beat the Falcons by 13, but the
okay,
Falcons,
of course.
And then they snuck by the Vikings last week. It's just Arizona is a confusing team because after the first 2 weeks, you're like, oh, Arizona's for real, and then they bottom out the next 2 weeks, and you're like, okay, maybe they have the growing pains, and then now they're putting it on Dallas. Man, and they do tend to play close too. I'm gonna take the Cardinals and the points. I think it's very close. Seattle wins by a point. Somebody goes for 2 and misses it. It's a 2-point win.
There you go.
All right. Next game. The San Francisco 49ers coming off that win against the Rams last night. Definitely needed it. They traveled to New England to play a Patriots team that now sits at 2-3. Cam Newton did not look good last week. You got an offensive whiz for San Francisco and Schottenheimer going against the old master, Bill Belichick. This game's in New England. Pats are favored by only 2.5.
Wow, Pats are favored in this one?
Pats are favored.
That's interesting. I got to tell, like I said earlier in the pod, San Francisco is such a well-coached team, and that was very, very obvious. You know, they made it to the Super Bowl last year, and I don't think they had any business being there, and they overachieved. And God, boy, I'd love to pick this game because I have a very, very strong read on it, and you've given me some inspiration for Wednesday night. But I'm going to go ahead and defer it on over to Scott.
It's so, oh man.
You know, there's the other angle we're not factoring in is Jimmy G going home to New England, the team that drafted him.
That's true.
Oh yeah.
I'm going to take the Niners.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Niners too.
Our next game: Tampa Bay Bucks coming off that thrashing of Green Bay. They travel to Vegas to play a Raiders team coming off a bye. The Raiders did look good in knocking off Kansas City last week. You know, they've kind of had an up and down season. They've had some good wins, some bad losses. And, can Tampa ride the momentum and continue it going? They do have to travel out west. The Raiders are getting 3 at home.
Ooh. Give me the Raiders all the way on that one. I want to say, hold on, let me check somewhere.
The Raiders are, they're like kryptonite. You know, they're dangerous. They're a dangerous team. And Tampa looks so impressive coming out of this week. You know, it's going to have a mutual opponent in that the Saints have already played and lost to the Raiders. But, again, I'm going to stay away and turn it back over to you guys.
Yeah, do I trust Tampa?
Raiders are undefeated against NFC South right now.
So far, it's going to be a Sunday night game.
And they had a bye week to prepare.
Yeah. I hope the Raiders win, but I'm taking Tampa.
Ooh.
Yeah, begrudgingly taking Tampa. All right, and now we got our game of the week here, a battle of the last remaining unbeaten teams in the AFC. The Pittsburgh Steelers, coming off that beatdown against the Browns. They found a new wide receiver weapon in Chase Claypool. They travel to Tennessee to play a red-hot Titans team. Ryan Tannehill looks good. They got a good coach in Vrabel, and Derrick Henry is just mauling right now. Really, really, really great matchup. And the Titans are getting 2.5 at home. And I'm trying to think. I don't know that Pittsburgh has necessarily played anybody yet. You know, and I know they're undefeated, but I feel like, let's see. Giants, Broncos, Texans, Eagles, Browns. And not a real murderer's row of wins there.
No.
So I'm going to go with the Titans here, catching the points.
I'm going to take the Steelers.
I like the Steelers. Like the Titans, that's going to be a real, real, real fun game to watch. Mm-hmm.
Yep, I will definitely be. Although I'm guessing, oh yeah, it's night game. I'm definitely gonna watch this one. All right, and now for our ODB shitty game of the week.
Here we go. I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far. My car's a big piece of shit.
And I almost feel like whenever there's a matchup in this division, I feel like it's an instant, it's the candidate for this, and this week's going to be no exception. We've got the Dallas Cowboys, who look to be getting another loss tonight. It's now 31-3. So they're actually going to be tied, I think still tied for the lead in their division at 2-4. They travel to Washington to play the worst organization in the NFL. Wow. I mean, I know you could say maybe the Jets, but it's a toss-up. Who is the worst franchise in the NFL, Washington or Jets? You could argue either one. Yeah, Ron tried to go for two, but when you play, I get it if he was playing a good team, you go for two and get the win because there's no way they'd hang on in overtime. But when you're playing a team as shitty as the Giants, I like to think you have a chance. But this is just, this is rough. This is two shitty teams playing in a shitty division. And Washington is getting 3 at home.
Washington is a 3-point dog to Dallas at home. Wow. I wouldn't.
He said Washington's getting 3, didn't he?
That's correct.
They're not a dog. They're getting 3.
No, they are a dog. Yeah, they're a home dog.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. 3 points. You're right. Sorry. Yep. Don't mind me.
This is a shitty game. This is a very, very shitty game and a shitty rivalry.
Andy Dalton, Kyle Allen, feel the excitement.
Hey, you know, you got to hype up every quarterback in this league, right? They're gonna have some sleek video package hyping Kyle Allen and Andy Dalton. That's my prediction. Sleek video package trying to hype Kyle Allen and Andy Dalton.
This is just gross.
See the red hair just blowing in the wind.
I am gonna take Dallas because, like I said, Washington is the worst organization, top to bottom, in the league. I don't care who's on the field and it'll never happen, but it starts at the top with their shitty owner. They're never going to be any good until they get rid of
them. Yeah, I'm going to go Cowboys too. On that one. I mean, they're both shitty, but I just think Cowboys just have more players, at least offensively. I mean, Elliott will probably go off in the game. Yeah. Dallas.
Yep. It's a shit storm. So there we go. So there's our 5 games this week. Seattle at Arizona. Cardinals, the home dog, getting 3.5. San Francisco at New England. Pats favored by 2.5. Tampa Bay at the Raiders. Raiders getting 3 at home. Pittsburgh at Tennessee. Tennessee getting 2.5 at home. Dallas at Washington. Washington getting 3 at home. That's 4 home dogs in our pick'ems this week. Very interesting.
Very interesting.
So make sure to get your pick'ems in on Twitter. Hopefully Jeff has been tracking them. He'll like your tweets. He's usually pretty good at that, even when he misses a show. So with pickups out of the way, we will move into our final segment of the week, the game preview.
Tonight, we take a hold of this division.
Let's go, man.
Today, let's go to our run.
Let's go, man.
When I say who are we, you say Saints. When I say are we ready, you say who?
Who we ready?
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 Yes!
Who we ready?
D1 had to do this for the best quarterback in the league right now, Drew Brees. They call me the one-man army. And we got him saying,
so I guess the first bit of news is that it's weird. I would have thought I had have seen more since the initial report of two offensive linemen for Carolina testing positive.
Yeah, I think they're waiting on, I guess, retests to see if there might have been false positives. Hopefully, you know, I know they shut down their facility and stuff. Hopefully it doesn't, you know, spread to the rest of the team and, you know, it's just two linemen and we can still play.
Or that it's actually a false positive. Like, it seems like a lot of these initial tests come back, oh, no, it's a false positive. We're good.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know exactly how that works or how the testing is, but you would think at this point that they would have, I don't know, better testing or solve the problem or something.
Every week, you're right, Jason, that there's, someone tested positive or may have tested positive. How are you not sure if someone tested positive or not? Like, I'm starting to see that. It also seems like teams are getting kind of weird. They're using that illness list, that illness designation on the injury report a lot more often than usual. That's not even COVID related, or they're trying to gimmick the system somehow with that. I don't know. I mean, I hope this game goes down. I hope that Carolina isn't unable to fulfill their obligations, and we do get a game. But there's been a lot of, you know, so and so, you know, somebody test positive then test negative, or you know, we saw Nick Saban test positive and then test negative three times. I mean, just.
Wonder how much those negative tests cost. I think it depends on how much they cost.
Get
a negative test. And how do you test positive on a Wednesday and then be coaching on a Saturday? Like,
not only coaching, like berating refs with your mask half off.
Yeah,
right.
I don't know how that works, but whatever.
It's on the magnitude of the game.
Yep. So yeah, we're playing Carolina. Teddy Two Gloves comes back to the Dome for the first time. His season, I don't know, kind of been up and down. He's thrown for a lot of yards, I think mainly because he has to, because they've probably been down in some games. But 6 touchdowns on 5 interceptions, as opposed to Drew, who's 9 touchdowns on 3 interceptions.
Is McCaffrey still going to be out?
I think he's still out.
Yeah, I believe. Yep. I haven't heard of him coming back.
But Mike Davis has filled in fairly well. In his place. Now, obviously, he's not McCaffrey, but my fantasy team, thanks the Lord, that I drafted him as a handcuff, and he's kept me afloat. But the receivers have put up some good stats this year. Robbie Anderson and was it Curtis Samuel on the other side?
Yeah.
You know, they put up some decent stats this year, and you know, it's Joe Brady, you know, kind of doing his thing with the offense, even though there's, you know, this is a young team, not a ton of talent, especially with McCaffrey out, but you know, they managed to kind of be okay, and you know, a good young coach coming in there kind of changed the culture a little bit. You know, Anderson's got 560 yards, and DJ Moore, that was the one, and DJ Moore's got 474 yards.
You know, I don't mind giving up the yardage as long as they're not putting points on the board, but the Saints tend to, as we've seen, give up, you know, that big play. I don't know if Carolina's having troubles in the red zones or what, because they're getting a lot of yards but not scoring a lot of points. They've only scored 30 points twice this season, 30 points or more. So they scored 31 against the Raiders. I'm sorry, 30 against the Raiders, 31 against the Cardinals. The Saints have scored 30 points or more in every game except for one. So you wonder if they have the offensive firepower to keep up with the Saints.
And that's a Saints team scoring those points without their best offensive player on the field. And now we've got Emmanuel Sanders has landed in this offense. He's now comfortable. He played like the star that he is 2 weeks ago. And you add Michael Thomas to that mix. Kamara's healthy and playing well. Cook is popping up once or twice a game and making big plays. I think the Saints are going to win this game, and I think they're going to it'll be a little closer than we like. And right now, I think they're about a 7.5-point favorite. But I'm excited about the Saints and to see how we do coming out of the bye with some healthier players and getting Mike Thomas back on the field, being complimented by Emmanuel Sanders is going to be huge.
Do you think there'll be any signs of any friction related to the whole Thomas incident anywhere?
I hope not. I don't think so. I know there's been a lot of on Saints Twitter and various places. There's been a lot of rumors of locker room unrest, and I can understand that with some of the guys they brought in the off season and attitudes and everything that happened in the off season. But I certainly hope not. That would be a real tragedy because the Saints are taking our home team bias away. The Saints are one of the most talented teams in the NFL on both sides of the ball and on special teams. And so, you know, hopefully we'll get to see Galloway returning punts again. I think Galloway was definitely a difference maker 2 weeks ago Callaway.
Yep.
Callaway, like the golf clubs. That's Callaway right. Was definitely a difference maker, in the special teams and field position game. So I think the Saints are going to be as fired in all cylinders as they have at any point this season. You know, I'm excited. I'm glad to have him back and looking forward to a win.
The bye week will definitely help with Davenport, you know, getting more healthy, because you saw even in the limited snaps that he got in the last game, he makes a difference. As much as we rag on him for not being able to play, when he does play, he really it's just a huge boost for this pass rush. And that was something that I thought was really lacking the first few games. So to get him back, to kind of have your entire defensive line pretty healthy now, I think that's the difference. That's the difference in the game. Because the one thing I do remember from Teddy is he does tend to hold the ball a little bit.
Yes.
And, you know, that can really be to our benefit in terms of getting some sacks.
He's been sacked 12 times so far this year. So he's definitely kind of seems like he's still holding the ball a little bit. I think as we saw kind of as he progressed throughout the season, he kind of got maybe a little bit better at that. Once he got a little more comfortable with the offense, when he holds the ball like that, you kind of see those wheels turning like, oh, am I supposed to throw it there? No, let me look over here. Wait, you know, so I don't know. Hopefully we can get to him. Hopefully our cornerbacks can you know, give the defensive line some time to get to.
Yeah, that's the biggest worry spot for me is what kind of game plan is Joe Brady going to come up with to kind of thrash the secondary that has had its problems.
Well, are we looking to see Jenkins back in the lineup? Is Jackrabbit going to be back or no?
That's a good question. I don't know. We haven't had any news.
I haven't
for
heard anything on the injury front for anybody, because I was wondering about Harris, if he was going to be back, and who's going to be returning kicks if he is back. But, I mean, I haven't heard anything yet. I mean, it's Monday night, so we'll probably hear some stuff probably tomorrow and Wednesday.
Maybe a little chatter once they have a practice, but it's probably not going to be until Wednesday.
Yeah.
The big playability with the two receivers on the outside kind of worries me a little bit with the way our secondary is played. But the good thing is if we get a better pass rush, you know, maybe that'll help in that regard too.
I did see that Kiki Alonso will be practicing this week. He's off I think he started on the PUP list. He's off the PUP list. Wow. He can begin practicing. So I don't know he's not going to play, I don't think, but anything to, you know, kind of help bolster that linebacking core will help as well.
Yeah, and just look, you're the more talented team. Just come out and win.
Hopefully we don't start off slow like we have been the past few games, dig into a hole and have to come back. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It seems like we always start slow in the beginning of the game, so maybe we can kind of turn that around this week, hopefully.
yeah, they especially coming out of a bye, they need to be ready to go. They really need to be ready to go here.
Yep. Hopefully no fights at practice this week.
And, oh, God.
and I hope that Taysom doesn't line up at quarterback.
If somebody gets into a fight, let it be Andrus Pete.
Well, if they get into a fight, let's not curse Sean Payton in the process.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't call Sean Payton a white devil.
You'll
be okay.
All right, score prediction.
I am going to go 35-20 Saints.
Very close. I was thinking the same thing. I'm thinking 34. And I'm thinking 34-27.
All right. I'm going to go 33-24.
So we're all kind of in that same range. Oh, 30,
yeah,
kind of.
I mean, I definitely think the Saints are going to score 30 points. The question is, can the defense keep it, you know, keep it limited, keep it down.
Right.
Don't give up any big bonehead plays.
Yep.
Just play solid. Play steady. Play steady.
The whole game.
Yeah, right.
Not just the second half.
Right. That's right. All right. Well, anybody got any final thoughts about anything?
Had some nice cooler weather this past weekend. Shit, I don't have anything. I'm just trying to think of something. But
I've got something. I want to tell you guys since that I have added to my online dating profile that I am an online internationally known podcaster. Uh-huh. The swiping right has really been going in my favor here lately.
Oh,
yeah. So we had a very, very bad week picking the games on taking the over this week. We were part of the carnage of the great crash of October 2020, the great gambling crash of October 2020. We are excited to come back. I'm going to have a real fun guest this week. We're probably going to meander way off topic and tell some really funny stories that the legal statutes of limitations have run out on. So please do tune in. We'll be excited for all of our listeners, and we're excited for people tuning in from exotic locales. And like I said, thank you folks, because that's helping my it's helping my swipes.
That's a hell of a tease. Now I'm really intrigued to hear what kind of stories you got going on.
We've got some good ones. Like I said, it's been 20, all these stories are at least 20 years old, so I don't think any legality is going to come into play as far as getting us in trouble, but we should have some fun, and it's going to be a fun week, and we're going to take it slow and kind of roll through and have a good time.
There we go. Yeah. My little final thought is it's Tiger week. Tiger defends at the Zozo in California. It's his last start before the Masters. So we'll see if his body will hold out on him, but that's all the show we have here right now. We want to thank all our loyal listeners for downloading each week. And telling your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed, you can receive all of our podcasts, including the Instant Reaction Show, which was called 2-Point Conversion. I don't know if that's an official thing or not. I guess we got to discuss that. You got the Dome Patrol podcast that you just heard. We got the BS&B or Saints podcast, and now we've got Taking the Over, our gambling show, which looks to get back over the crash,
and all for free.
That's right. That's right. We ain't charging you nothing.
Yet.
No. So you can follow us all on Twitter, Dome Patrol Podcast, Dome Patrol US, and Dome Patrol UK. You can follow the BS and Beer Podcast, BS and Beer Media. Follow Facebook for live streams, I guess, if Jeff ever gets his computer back. I think that's like the running joke every week. Kind of like Jimmy Kimmel says, sorry, Matt Damon, you can't, no time for you. It's kind of Jeff's computer thing every week. Or you can listen to the old-fashioned way, DomePatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Terry Bridgewater donkeys.
Bye-bye, gambling crash of October 2020 donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
Some dough. Girl acted like she'd never seen a 10 before. It's all about the Hamiltons, baby. Throw the snacks in a bag, and I'm ghost like Swayze. Swayze, Swayze. Roll up to the theater.
Ticket buying, what we're handling.
You can call us Aaron Burr.
From the way we're dropping Hamilton.
I'm parked in our seats. Movie trivia's the illest.
What Friends alum starred in films with Bruce Willis?
We answered so fast it was scary.
Everyone's standing all when we scream Matthew Perry. They're quiet in the theater or it's gonna get 20.
tragic.
We're about to get taken to a dream world of magic.
It's the chronic what calls of Narnia.
Yes, the chronic what calls of Narnia.
We love the chronic what calls of Narnia.
Pass that chronic.